You're in a good place now. Relax, breathe, smile. You've entered into your element, the home of origin, the home of intelligence and beauty, where relevant topics are discussed, where what you think counts, and where superior is the norm. You are listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
You're listening to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. And on tonight's show, we're discussing the importance of not taking what others say and do personally. You know, later on in the hour, I'm going to let you in on a few secrets, some techniques and strategies for ending the pleasing cycle and to begin living your true life. How do we stop taking what others say and do personally? You know, you're a loser, you're a winner, you're beautiful, or you look like crap. You know, compliments and put-downs and insults can go on for days. I think we've all heard a lot of them. Whether it's a compliment or an insult, you've got to watch how you take it. You got to watch how you take it to heart. Do compliments mean a lot to you? Do you judge yourself based on what other people say about you? You know, every day we receive compliments and insults. And as a child, I remember my mother instructing me to only hear the compliments and to tune out the insults. But I think that's easier said than done. And is it necessarily the right way of going by it? You know, when we give earplay to the compliments paid to us, it makes us even more difficult to see the insults and to let those go as well. You know, a compliment, just like an insult, emerge out of one person's mouth based on their own personal feelings, their thoughts, and their very own perception of you based on their perspective of the world around them. Think about it. You know, compliments are beautiful. They're beautiful to receive, and they do brighten one's day. I think so. And it's nice to be complimented. It's nice to be complimented on one's work, on one's beauty, on one's dedication. I mean, I can think the list goes on. But I do like compliments, but I also watch internally how I accept them and how I feel about them. Hey, Bill, what's going on? How are you doing tonight?
Doing pretty good. How about yourself?
I'm doing good. You having a good night?
I'm having a good night. By the way, you look exceptionally great tonight.
Aw, that's so nice. Yeah, what a nice compliment.
Just thought I'd give you a little compliment there.
A little boost, a little B12 shot right there.
There you go.
B12 shot in the arm, a little shot in the arm it was. I love it. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
It feels really good. I love that. I will pass that forward then, as they say, pay it forward.
That's right.
Joining us tonight, television journalist and friend Annie Potasnik joins us.
Hello.
Hey, Annie, what's up?
Hi, I'm happy to be here.
We are delighted to have you, and Annie lights up the studio, and this is awesome. I love it.
You're too kind. Thank you.
She's definitely better looking than any of us in here, so.
Well, you know,
you're
Big
nuts.
Skinny says speak for yourself, though. You know, Big Skinny, what's
speak
up?
Speak for yourself, Bill.
Poor Big Skinny over here. We'll just call him Kyle. Yeah, no, I mean, honestly, think about the whole concept of the compliments that you receive. I mean, what was the last compliment that y'all got? Can you think of the last compliment that you can remember off the top of your head that somebody paid you? Tell me.
Yeah, recently a friend of mine went through a hard time in her life. And, you know, we have a pretty, known her for a while, and we have kind of a brother-sister type relationship. And so I was helping her through it, and she said, you know, I'm like the most loyal friend she's ever had. That made me feel really good, because that's something I really value, is being loyal to the people that I'm close to.
That's a big deal. I know, yeah. Annie, that's a big deal for you, loyalty. And I think it's a big deal for me, too. I mean, because when people are loyal, when they're trustworthy, when they're real friends, that's a big deal. I mean, that says something. That means friendship. That means respect.
No, I agree. And I wish that the last compliment I could remember was that deep. But I mean, are you talking about like most recent? I mean, most recently I had someone tell me I had a great rack.
Oh, well, that's good. I like that. There you go. In the bag.
I'm just being honest, that was the last compliment.
Well, I like that. It's true. I mean, like, what was the last comment you got?
You look like Joel Osteen. And I take that as a compliment.
Actually, you do look
that's
like
weird.
Joel Osteen.
Oh my gosh, you do.
I thought that's who you were.
I'm hearing the Twilight Zone music right now.
Na 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 na.
See, and I never put the connection together until you just said that.
I saw the Matthew McConaughey thing. I didn't really see the Joel.
Yeah,
thing.
I saw the Matthew McConaughey thing.
But now
thing,
I see
yeah.
it. I see it. And even
I get
in the
Joel
voice
Osteen
of it.
And the Matthew McConaughey every now and then, but it's more the Matthew McConaughey and Dallas Buyers Club.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Is that a compliment or is that an insult? That's,
that might be a backhanded
see, that's
compliment.
One of those. It's a compliment wrapped up in an insult, perhaps. I don't know. I think he looked good in that movie.
Wrapped up in a riddle,
yes.
really, honestly.
In
a, you know, a gum wrapper and stuff.
Okay, you're getting too deep for me now.
But he was hot in that movie. That was good.
I didn't see that movie. I will have to check that
you
out.
You should check it out.
You didn't? That's like the only, like, one of the
it's
two movies
really
you
good.
Haven't seen, right?
It's good.
Okay, well, you know, I haven't seen several movies. I mean, there are some movies that I just really like. I love certain movies, and it's not all popcorny movies. I like certain movies that just make me laugh, and, you know, they don't bring me down, you know? I mean, I do like some movies that are deeper and more socially transient, more socially inept to what's going on in the society today. However, I just feel that film, when you're supposed to escape, is what film is supposed to be, or it's supposed to mimic life. I like to see that. Like, my favorite film is my favorite film of all time is what is it? Field of Dreams. One of my favorite films. And I love it because really honestly in life when you build something and you create something and you believe in it so much, it will win. You will get it. It will come to fruition. But when I look at certain films where there's like death, dismemberment, and destruction, I've had enough in my life. I really have. And I respect the people that make it, but I really watch very little of that because I get very little time at home. And on top of that, when I'm watching movies, it's normally right before I go to bed. And that stuff can make for some not so cool dreams.
So you're not a Freddy That's fan. True. Is that what you're trying to say?
I don't watch horror films at all.
I can second that.
No. I watched one when I was a child. It was called like Amityville horror film.
Yeah, I remember that one.
That's the one I watched when I was a kid. To this day, if I sleep on my back, I have to put my hand over my stomach.
I'm all into See? Horror films. I'm, but to me, it's laughable. Like for me, it's that what you're talking about, the escapism. You go to the theater yeah. or the movie. To see a film to escape. To me, it's just, I mean, it's laughable. Although there's a couple, but for example, Emily Rose, that one really freaked me out. But that's because it's based on a true story.
I haven't seen that either. I've
don't,
seen that
don't,
one.
Don't
see it.
Yeah, don't. It's bad.
It's like the old lady and the one I saw, and she's in the, oh my gosh, and her eyes and the stuff and the things and the people fall out of the window. And I was like in sixth grade at a spin the night party. Spin the night party. Yeah, anyway, I had nightmares. I haven't seen another one of those.
So is that an insult or a compliment to say that you don't like horror movies?
I'm just saying straight out, flat, no insult, no compliment. That's just the way I roll.
No,
you know?
Some people are into it and some people aren't.
I mean, I respect if you're into it. The thing is that I've actually been on set when they're actually making horror films. That's a totally different thing. That's funny. It's
that
funny.
That would seem fun.
It's great. It's funny because you see the makeup and you see everything and you see the CG and you see all this creative work and you see all the green screen, you see all the stuff and it's not real. And for that, I was cool with it. But to right. see the final product, too much stress for me. Too much. You know, I think that when we go through life too, I mean, we all have the things that we love. We all have these things that we've experienced and that also makes up our perspective, you know, our perception of the people around us. And I think a lot of times, let's say, for example, if you get a compliment or you get an insult by somebody, a lot of times it's based on what that person's perception of you. So Bill, if I perceive you a certain way, Andy, if I perceive you big skinny, when I look at people, you know, people do this all the time. They'll make a judgment call is what I like to say. Sometimes compliments are very favorable. Other times insults can be very harmful. But sometimes on both sides, you can create issues as well.
Yeah, you know, because it's like, you know, like with you, Andy, you know, it's like if we don't know each other very well, and hi Annie, you know, hey, you look pretty today.
Hi, thanks,
you
nice
know
to meet you.
And yeah you know and
oh how sweet
I know huh
you
know, we're
cute.
Ashley, excuse us, we're having a moment here,
sweet little buttercup.
Yeah.
Yeah, skinny and I are out of this moment apparently.
We're having a moment here, so but anyway, you know, so but you don't know me, you know, let's say you don't know me very well,
right.
Okay, and so if I say hey, you look pretty today, you know, I mean, you may take it, you know, in the spirit that it's intended, or you may not. I mean,
well, pretty's one thing, but what about like you look smoking hot? I mean, that's a different thing.
Well, yeah. So if she's at a bar and I'm drunk and coming up to her, you know, hey baby, you look smoking hot. Well, obviously she's going to take it a different way.
No,
you know?
Clearly I'm going to be like, hello, I'm in love with you. Let's go get married. You're fabulous.
Okay.
You know,
we just see y'all later, Ashley. Big skinny. Y'all have a good show.
See, I knew this.
I mean,
was
that's like
happen.
The dream way to meet a guy. You know, drunk at a bar. Or a back alley. What was it we talked about?
Oh, yeah,
about
the back
earlier?
Alley is great. Oh, I love
yeah.
the back alley.
That's the most romantic.
In the
with
dark.
The lighting, because it has the best lighting, yeah. You know? The smell of trash lighting. And sewage, possible dead bodies. I'm into it.
God bless us all. Tell you know, me. But
my kind of girl here.
What we're really talking about, though, was if you think about, like, years ago, I remember when I was younger, and I remember I lost a lot of weight based on what some people told me to do, and it was very unhealthy, and it was very... not right. And I think sometimes we can get compliments that are really great and beneficial, maybe give us a boost up. But other times we can get compliments that can derail us, that can take us off course, that can make us think one thing that's good for us, but in actuality, it's not. It's the exact opposite. It's something that could actually do us harm. You know, I mean, like for the example of being a certain weight, if you're really tiny and skinny and not eating because other people are telling you how great you look, that's probably not the best compliment. You know, and I think a lot of times it's all based on someone's perception, what they think is beautiful. I mean, if you think about back into the day, even like Mona Lisa and all that time when they were like painting women of certain proportion, I mean, the life has changed. Our culture has changed. What was beautiful at one point isn't considered, you know, mainstream beautiful. And right. I think that has to be put into consideration. So when Perspectives returns, we're continuing our discussion on exploring compliments, on exploring the insults that we get, on the importance of not taking what others say and do personally. And later on, I'm going to give you the secret techniques and strategies for ultimately putting an end to your people-pleasing cycle, which has been going on far too long, and to begin living your true life. So stay tuned, because Perspectives with Ashley Burgess will be back in two shakes.
Turn it up and jump in the deep end on Perspectives with Ashley Burgess. The water's warm and there's a swim-up bar. Glass of Perspective, anyone? Now, here's Ashley.
It's a very attractive quality. Most girls, they merely plod along. You, on the other hand, you glide.
You know, I always did like a man in a uniform. That one fits you grand.
You have such a pretty face. You should be on a Christmas card.
You just made my day.
You make every day feel like kindergarten.
I've never wanted a human's blood so much in my life.
I want to roll you into a little ball and shove you up my vagina.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Thank you for tuning in tonight, and if you're just now tuning in, we're continuing our discussion on compliments and insults and how to put an end to taking things personally that other people say and do. Later on, I'm going to give you the secret techniques and strategies for ending the people-pleasing cycle and to begin living your true life. You know, how much earplay, how much real thought, and how much value do you give to compliments paid your way? I think compliments are nice to hear and can offer you a boost of encouragement that you may have been seeking here and there. That's fine and good, but when we place too much value on compliments, we lose sight of reality, the truth maybe. We also lose sight and also get off course. I think it's good to be thankful for a compliment, but I think it's also gets in the way sometimes, and also the way we process it. Much like handling an insult, which we'll talk about here in a second, they are directly proportional. And we know how we handle insults is really extremely different normally from accepting a compliment. However, I think that sometimes when we allow compliments to really shape our life, it tends to make the insults even harder to deal with. So let's talk about that. Let's switch gears. Let's get on the negative. Let's bring it down. You know, we get angry. We fight back. We ignore insults sometimes. But worse, we let it get into our heads. And I was thinking the other day, and I've coined this phrase, insults are direct head games. Okay, so when somebody insults you, just like compliments are conjured in the mind of the person that's speaking them to you, they're formed by that one person's perception of you. And sometimes, you know, people may hate you because you look like somebody, or people might like you for that same reason, but it's all based on their perception. And I think insults are head games because you're not expecting them. They usually come out of left field. They usually come when you least expect them. So let's talk about this. You know, bring out your insults. Bring out your insults, because I think that insults are interesting, but more than that are the reactions and did we take it to heart or not. So Anybody's got an insult here that's really ready? Okay, Bill's raising his hand.
I'll get the ball rolling on this. And actually, you know this story. But for some of our listeners out there who don't know like how the radio business works, okay? So
it's cutthroat.
Right. Well, there's a fellow producer engineer at the radio station that I'm based at. And one morning I was pulling a double overnight shift. Okay.
Yeah. Those are the best.
Not just a double shift, actually a double overnight shift. Okay. So I was pretty
tired. So you're mainlining coffee at that point.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
Eyes were glazed over. Yeah. You know, crossing, like the zombie apocalypse.
You know? And you know, the last show of the morning was a show that I don't do very often. I wasn't familiar with it. So anyway, I make a mistake and it was going to go
because you're human.
Because I'm human.
God forbid you're not a robot.
Yeah, I know, right? And so I was going to go 30 seconds over into the next program. No problem. There's a way to fix it. Okay. There's a way to start recording the other program and then start playing it back. So there's nothing missing there. But the guy who's coming in to replace me, he flat refused to cooperate. He just said, look, if you do that, I will just cut it off. And just flat, you know, said, no, I'm not going to help you on this.
So not only did he insult you, he also affected your work.
Yeah. It affected my work. And like I said,
how'd you feel about that?
Oh, I mean, I was just, I mean, beyond furious.
Rage.
If I was actually awake at that point, then I probably would have, done something I really would have regretted.
So you think that being awake for so long actually kind of impeded you from doing any sort of damage or getting
or saying something? Yeah, I mean, something like that. But I mean, the only thing I could think of to do was just walk away. You know, it's like, fine, whatever, gone, see ya.
Well, sometimes it's the only reaction you can do. I mean, it depends. I mean, we've all been insulted before. I mean, sometimes these can actually go very deep. Sometimes they can be kind of surfacey, and sometimes they can linger. Like, you don't really think about it till later on. I remember, Seinfeld. Remember that Seinfeld episode where the guy actually told her that her head was too big?
Yes.
Remember that? And the bird's like, that bird flew right into your head. It thought it was a nest, you know? And it's funny because Elaine, she's like, your head's so big. He's a bad breaker-upper, right? But the point is that those things can get in your head. And that's why I call it, it's like an assault. It's like a head game because all of a sudden you're thinking, oh my gosh, I really am that way.
Right. You internalize it and you forget about the fact that it's really probably that person is the one they're projecting whatever their issues it.
Well, in this case, that definitely was. But I mean, this happened about a year ago. I have not spoken to him since. I mean,
wow, you hold grudges. You hold grudges.
I mean, we work in the same building, but it's like we'll pass by, and I won't even look at him. I just
grudge holder.
Yeah. Well, and I was about to say. I mean, maybe it's a character flaw on my part, but I do tend to hold grudges sometimes.
I know, but didn't you also say previously that you don't like confrontation as well?
Well,
you avoid it like the plague. Maybe you're afraid if you do say something, there might be a bit of a confrontation there.
Well, I'm afraid. In all, not only am I afraid of confrontation, but I've got a really super bad temper.
Ah.
So I'm afraid of what I would do if I got angry enough to let myself go.
And you're like the Hulk.
I've got a friend who says that, because the angrier I get,
But you're such a calm, cool, collected, sweet person, and that's why totally makes sense.
Yeah, because
I can see if somebody's actually pushed you to that point that you would just be a madman.
Yeah, and I am, and that's why I don't let myself. That's why I'll swallow and internalize stuff like that. Because
which is the worst thing you can do for all listeners out there. When you internalize things, when you internalize things, you keep them inside. And the problem is that that's how cancer and issues start. And if you think about it, that's how disease starts. Because anytime we keep things and feelings and emotions inside of us that need to come out, that's not good because our body can't help us. We can't get over that. It's like having, an infection that you never treat. And that's really what it is. And so that's why a lot of people seek counseling as well. That's why some people just lose it. I mean, they lose it. And sometimes it's not at the right opportune time, but they've held back on their actual feelings for so long that somebody could ask them to do some menial task and they're going to
flip out.
It's done. I mean, it's like, it's like the atomic bomb drops, and I think that happens. Anybody else have any good insults they'd like to share with the perspectives here on here live? Okay.
That's a tough one.
Skinny.
I mean,
Skinny, have you ever been told you're really big and skinny? I don't know.
I
thought you were about to say douchebag, but anyway.
Daily. I've never been called a douchebag.
Maybe not today.
Not today or to my face, because, you know, I don't fight, but I can make a call. It's one of those things. But no, I really, I'm non-confrontational.
You've never been insulted,
but you know
though?
What? It might
Your
be the way you hear
life,
things. It might be the
insulted?
Way you hear things.
I am just so laid back. I mean, if something were to happen like that, I would, you know, semi take it like a grain of salt and then think about it for a few and then be like, all right, I won't retaliate. I might kill him with a little kindness, but they're going to know who Big Daddy is.
Ooh. I'm going to go call myself Big Daddy from now on.
Snap,
I don't know.
Snap.
I mean, I understand where you're coming from. I mean, I normally, when people try to insult me, depending on what it is, I normally just look past that and try to see kind of what I would wish to see. But I also know from that fact that you know who the people are that you can trust.
I think it's situational as well, though. It's like, who is the insult coming from? Like, is it really just coming from someone that, like, you know, is like so far out of, like, here I am, you know, I swim, you know, they can't even, like, they're in a little pond with some tiny fish.
Or they don't even know you.
Sharks.
They don't even know you.
I swim with sharks. You know what I'm saying? Like, your little creek, pond, whatever, the little
minnow,
like, three-eyed fish that you're dealing with can't even come close to swimming in my ocean than the shark. So whatever's coming out of your mouth, yeah, you're trying to insult me. It doesn't even matter. That's one way of looking at
That's,
it.
Yeah.
The insults that really hurt me are when they're from people that I care about and that I love. Those are the things, to me, those are the insults that matter.
I agree, because it's harmful. It's painful because you actually care about how they feel.
You feel like it's a reflection of yourself because this person should know you. However, maybe they don't know you as well as you thought that they did.
Well, it's like the other night, you know, the other day at work, I'm talking to some of the crew members and whatnot, and they're like, you know, this, and this. And they're like, okay, you're just the safety guy. I'm like, well, I was hired as the safety guy. I'm an OSHA coordinator. I love my job. I love keeping guys safe. I love making my company millions of dollars. But I asked them, I said, what'd y'all do after work today? And they said, you know, we went home and had a couple beers or watched TV. I'm like, well, that's great. I went and filmed a country music video, helped a good friend of mine with a radio show, and, you know, still made it back to work at 8 a.m. the next day. How was your night?
Ooh!
Snap, number two.
Wow. Well, you know, but I think a lot of times that's also the way you feel. That's your outward reaction. And I think that sometimes that we internalize these feelings as well. And I think that a lot of times are these things that people kind of hit you with, these insults that are dished out, man. Some of them can be painful, and you're right. When you have certain feelings for somebody, it can really get to the quick. It can really hurt really bad. But when it doesn't really matter, you know, you kind of let it fall by the wayside. So it does depend on internal feelings. So when we come back, we're going to take a break real quick. When we come back, we're going to talk more about how to kind of deal with that I want to fit in gene. How to deal with that concept, because that is directly responsive to the human condition. As well as how to not take things personally that people say and do. And later on, just coming up here in a few minutes, I'm going to give you the secret techniques and strategies for really ending the people-pleasing cycle that you're in and to start living your true life. So stay tuned, because Perspectives with me, your host, Ashley Burgess, will be back in two shakes.
This is Jake Busey, and you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess on 570 KLIF.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. And tonight we have a really great show. We've been talking about how to stop taking things personally, the things that people say and do. You know, it's all about the concept of compliments and insults. And I think we've all been given compliments. We've all been paid insults. We all understand that these things can get out of hand. You can internalize it. And a lot of times insults can appear to be head games, and they really are. Later on, I'm going to also give you the secret tips and tricks to ending the pleasing cycle and to really begin living your true life, because a lot of times we're just being people pleasers. We're not doing what we want in life. We're just trying to please everybody to make them like us. You know, when we're talking about insults, you know, I think that a lot of times when people dish out an insult, it's hard to deal with it. I mean, our reaction is either one way or another. We either react in a quiet manner, we either get angry, or we really internalize it. And insults are definitely harder to deal with because we're born with that gene, that fit in gene, you know, the I want to belong gene. I mean, think about back in school. Think about, you know, even when you were born, you wanted to
you know, make your parents proud. Think about the concept of being in school and wanting just to fit in. I just want to belong. I just want to be like everybody else. You know, I want to please everybody. I want to be liked. I want to be liked by everyone. However, you can't please everyone, and everyone isn't going to like you. It's funny how people you want to really like you may never, ever accept you. And, you know, a little sidebar, I deal with my clients on a daily basis with this, is I explain that sometimes the people that you really want to accept you, you have really no business having a relationship with them. And eventually, if you keep pushing at them and trying to break them, they will accept you, and you will cause destruction in your life. Because a lot of times we try to make people like us that we really don't need in our life. Because if they don't like us to begin with, they obviously don't get you. They have a mixed up perception of you, which causes them to just directly dislike you. You know, it's really a crapshoot. It depends on their personal perception of you, not actual reality. And how many times have you looked at a person and initially misjudged them yourself? I think people do that all the time. You can look at somebody and think, oh, look at her. Oh, she thinks she's all that. Oh, look at Miss Princess. Oh, da, 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 da. And that person could have had one of the roughest, you know, childhoods you've ever heard of. You know, the flip-flop can be the exact same. And I think a lot of times we misjudge people just by the outward appearance. I mean, that's just the way it is. It's all about appearances, right? That's what our world seems to be based on. If you look like you're rich, then you gotta be rich. If you look like you're successful, you gotta be successful. Even though a lot of people that are mega successful could be wearing a dirty, you know, a dirty robe walking down the street going to Starbucks. You know, the thing is that you never know what kind of package is gonna come in, but we're all trained to see, you know, Rolls Royce and you see this, oh, they're real successful. They must be big time. They must be famous.
Can I get an amen, please? Preach.
Amen.
It's fabulous. It's absolutely true.
It's crazy how that's
everything true. That you said. And if you have to convince somebody to like you, then from the get-go, it's wrong. The whole setup is not there from the beginning.
Well, you know,
they need to accept and love you as you are, who you are, from the moment that you meet or you get to know each other. Otherwise, it's not meant to be. It's not going to be a good relationship for you.
But you know the old saying, don't judge a book by its cover.
Right.
I mean, how someone looks on the outside, you don't know if that's the way that person is on the inside. Or like Ashley was saying, you don't know what their story is.
Right.
So
you don't know that story unless you actually want to pick up the book, take the time to open the cover and turn the pages and read it. And
right.
that's an investment. And that's, you know, meeting somebody who actually wants to invest in you as a person. You know, whatever the relationship is, whether it's a friendship or whatever. And that's, you know.
I agree.
It's paramount. And it's not a superficial thing.
No, but I think a lot of times it has to be within them. And I agree with you. Like, for the other person to take the time to open the book,
exactly. They
have to have their own book.
Right.
And sometimes people don't have that depth, or some people don't want to avoid it. And so going and trying to see your deep and your depth and your it's not within them. You can't see something in somebody else that you can't see within yourself.
True.
It's sad, but most people, that's the way it is. And I think when you figure out that somebody's like that, you go, man, it was really great meeting you. I think you're a great person. God bless you. I want the best for you, but I got to move on.
Moving on, putting it back up on the shelf and going to another section of the library.
Exactly.
Snap, snap.
It's almost like, you know, when you meet me, I look at life. I love life. I love the people I'm around. The new people I've met, the new people I meet every day. Some people look at me and they're like, oh, it's just an average person. But once you get past page one or two, then you realize that's a good cat right there. A good, honest person that is just trying to, you know, make it.
Who just happens to look like Matthew McConaughey and Joel Osteen all in one.
It's combo.
Yeah, you know.
It's combo.
It's true. I mean, when we first met, you know, really big skinny one, when we first
met. How did you guys meet? I'm just curious.
We met at actually a fashion show, but we're not going to give any names and dates and have you. But we did meet at a fashion show. And he just looked, you know, all made up and, you know, and I'm not saying prissy, but all made up and all. And I was like, wow, he looks great. You know, we talked for just a couple of minutes, and he was basically shadowing a person that's in TV, and we got each other's number and what have you, and, you know, at first I was kind of, I don't know, I really just don't know, and
then
I go,
she
you
turned
know.
Page one to two, and then
page
think she
nine
did, like,
to
the
ten.
Corner. She just, like, put the corner of the page, like, not even the beginning.
She bookmarked
chapter.
Me.
I was like a little scared.
Yes, she turned the, turned the corner down. Yeah.
I was a little scared. You know, I earmarked that corner and I was a little scared and I thought, you know, I'm going to go for it because, you know, the worst that can come out of it is I meet somebody and I go, hey, it was really great meeting you. You know, have a great life. God bless you. Just like what I said. However, it didn't turn out that way. And it's true. It's like when you meet people in certain social situations, that's what's always interesting is because the perception based upon that actual social situation can define how you think about that person. When in actuality, it might not have anything to do with that person.
Right.
I mean, I've met people in situations where they were even in the wrong situation. They weren't even supposed to be there.
You weren't even supposed to be in that situation.
I was going to say.
Oh, yeah. I was in a meeting. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Backstory. So, for everybody listening, I was heading to a meeting a few months ago. No names and dates and people. But I was heading to a meeting a few weeks ago, and I ended up going to another meeting by accident that was right next door. And the reason why that happened is the attendant that was given the directions had already left to get directions to someone else. And so, I ended up walking into another meeting. As I sat down, they were very open-armed. And, come on in. Oh, come on in. Here's a seat. And I sat down, and I was trying to figure out what this had to do with the meeting I was supposed to be at. It was about addiction. It was about drug and addiction, and I was going in to talk as a counselor to a lot of people that had gone through prison and the prison reform system, what have you. Well, I was wondering, they were talking about a film, and it seemed like it had some drug references. So I figured, okay, maybe we're going in the direction of drug and addiction. Anyway, no, I was at the wrong meeting.
Were there wine and crackers and cheese?
Okay, there was some wine and crackers and cheese there.
Andy, who's telling this story?
I'm just curious.
She's right, though. It's an addiction meeting with wine and crackers and cheese, but I only had an iced tea, so you understand. I had an iced tea. But anyway, yes, other people were drinking a lot of wine. However, I realized I was in the wrong meeting. And the whole thing is that, you know, you could be at the wrong place. And so if somebody meets you in a situation that you might not, even though I'm now a member of that organization and they're very cool. However, if you're in the wrong place at the wrong time, people might get another feeling about you. Or if it's not really your, you know, comfort zone. Because I think a lot of times when you meet somebody, you make all these snap judgments. Like, think about social media. Think about when you go online to Facebook and you look and you see someone's, you know, profile and you see like them glitz and glam. And, you know what I'm saying? And you go, and people go, oh, she must be this or that. You know, she must be this kind of person or that kind of person. When in actuality, that's so far from reality.
Right. Social media, it's a tool.
It's all about perception.
I mean, yeah, and I think people have to be careful. You know, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Don't know if you watched the NFL draft last week, actually, but one of the
I
big,
did.
Okay, well,
all of that, but it's just like that's like just be smart about it. Really, like,
oh, by the way,
you're a grown up. Like, figure it out. Like, yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, use it for what it's for. Be professional. Be polite. Or just whatever. I mean, be a teenager on the internet. I mean, social media is just like it's gotten out of hand. It's
I agree ridiculous. With y'all, but let's talk about the draft real quick. Just to go on a sideline. The thing is that I'm
no,
just going to say
sports.
That Jerry...
I don't do sports. No!
Our owner of the Dallas Cowboys did the right thing this time, and God bless him, he didn't go with a showboater this time.
Jerry. Yes.
So he could have had Johnny Manziel. Even though Johnny Manziel will actually do great now with the Cleveland Browns because he can't get into any trouble, because he's in Cleveland, for God's sakes. The point is that, yes, he will do well, and he'll take some heat, but for the first time, he picked a decent player that had a great track record that isn't going to get into the limelight of Dallas and lose it. Manziel's only option to really stay and to be a good kid and to actually grow up, learn, and stay in the NFL and not get hurt, not be in trouble, not go to prison is to go to the Cleveland Browns. So I really appreciate him standing up to the right thing.
Preach Reverend Ashley.
Gosh, and so. I'm very happy for him because he actually did that, and we're not going to have another Terrell Owens, God bless him, here in Dallas. So anyway, when we
come back...
We're going to be talking about more about the perception of actual reality. You know, how many times we might be misjudging someone. But we're going to deconstruct about how you cannot deal with compliments or insults. You can actually let it roll off your back and the techniques that you can actually put an end to pleasing people, put an end to saying yes all the time, and as you say yes to you beginning to live your true life, because that's what's so important. In the end, it's not about what they said. In the end, it's not about what you did for them. It's about how you feel about you. So stay tuned, because Perspectives with your host, Ashley Burgess, will be back in, well, okay, we'll be back in two shakes. I can lift you up. I can show you what you
want to see and take you where you want to be. Get in here and give us your perspective. We're listening.
You're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Listen, do you want to know a secret? Do you promise not to tell? Whoa, whoa, closer. Let me whisper in your ear.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. And if you're just tuning in tonight, we've been discussing compliments and insults and how you can put an end to taking things that other people say about you personally, put an end to that. As well as I'm about to now give you the secret techniques and the personal strategies for putting an end to the people-pleasing cycle that most of us constantly live our daily lives, and how to begin living your true life. So first off, you know, when we deal with the idea of compliments and insults, a lot of times we can allow those to get to us because we're so interested in pleasing other people all the time, no matter what. It's not about upholding your obligation. It's about just saying yes to everything. And the first thing we have to deal with is, in order to put a stop to the people-pleasing cycle and start living for ourselves, is to stop and start using actual real boundaries. I think a lot of times we don't have healthy boundaries in our relationships. We have these relationships that have, kind of they go every which way. And somebody knows how to exactly push your buttons at every time because that's just the way it is because you've allowed them. You've become a pushover with them in your life. And so you have to create these great boundaries, these solid boundaries with you in mind, because a lot of times if you don't create good boundaries, you're not going to have anything. It's not going to be a lasting friendship anyway, because if somebody keeps breaking your boundaries, eventually you're going to end the friendship. You're not going to keep it. Eventually it's going to go bad. It's going to go south. There's going to be anger. There's going to be arguments. And I think when you create these boundaries that say, hey, I am an equal to you, I don't deserve any sort of insults, all this stuff, it's all committed by your action. Because you can say 100,000 things from yesterday, but people don't listen to exactly what you say. They actually watch your action. If you don't accept something from them, they won't try to push it on you again. They just don't. I mean, but if they get away with it one time, I'll try it again. I might be able to make them get away with it. I might say a compliment. I might dish something out that makes that person just go, yeah, okay, I'll do whatever you want. And if it's worked before in the past, it'll work again.
That's something that is taking me it's a hard time for me to learn how to say no to people. Because the people that I am friends with, I want to be there for them. And so I have a kind of hard time sometimes saying, I can't do it or I really don't want to.
Oh yeah. You make you kind of sit there and say, okay, I'm going to give some excuses. Like, oh, I really can't make it because I have to work, or I got all this stuff going on. My mom's coming in town, or my mom's really sick. Yeah. But you give all these excuses, and eventually, guess what? They break you down.
Yep.
You still say yes, and in the end you go, oh man, why? Why did I say yes to this? This is going
to
be awful.
Because I don't want them to be mad at me. You know, don't want them to, you know, hate me.
You don't
want to
disappoint people.
Right, yeah.
You want to please people.
I do.
Yes, you want to please people.
No matter what.
Yeah.
No matter if it's not pleasing to you either.
But who's pleasing you?
That's interesting. I mean, that's a good question. I mean, if it's a two-way street, that's one thing. I mean, if you give and receive and other people give and receive.
I mean, I could be stepping out of turn here, but for me personally, in these types of situations, it's always one-sided.
See? There you go.
It's never reciprocated.
Never reciprocated. And that's the thing, is that that's a boundary issue. I mean, otherwise it wouldn't be an issue. But a lot of times when we get ourselves into relationships that we don't create distinct boundaries.
What about people that overstep the boundary, though? When you draw that line in the sand and you put that boundary there, and they just like they continually step over it.
Well, what you do wouldn't you do with be that? There any longer.
Oh, okay.
Well, I mean, if you do
well,
have
no,
boundaries,
it's true. No, you're
you
right.
Would just leave and just be like, hey, this isn't working. You're obviously not listening to a word I have to say, and I'm out. And eventually they'd get the hint when you don't call them back, you don't return calls, and you never want to see them again. But you have to be strong in making that mandate, and that's hard for a lot of us, and it was hard for me for a while, too. Let's not act like this was easy breezy. You know, it wasn't like the Skittles rainbow, walking on the Skittles rainbow going, ooh, life's so fun. No, 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 don't run on my boundaries. No, I mean, like, I've written books about this because it takes you to sit there and say, okay, I value myself so much that if you're going to impede on my life, on my freedom, I'm not going to handle this anymore, and I'm out.
It takes gumption I think that's a real word.
It is.
Gumption's a great word. I love gumption.
I'm an editor. I'm pretty sure I didn't make that up.
Gumption's great. I love gumption. Tenacity, you know, and moxie, really. Moxie.
Yes. Yeah, moxie's a nice one as well.
And you also, the next thing you want to think about is you can say no and try it out. Everybody that's tried no, everybody that's said no, it works. It takes one time to get over that plateau. And I'm not talking about saying no with all these excuses. I'm saying no, I can't do it. I appreciate you asking. I hope you find somebody. You can't sit there and say, well, no, because, you know, I have all this going on. And, you know, no, that's not a no. A clear, concise no, because guess what? If you say yes to something that, one, you are underqualified from doing, two, you have no education on doing, or three, you just don't want to do it at all.
Yeah, you just don't want to do it.
That's wrong, because there could be somebody out there that really wants to do it. You could be taking their spot, but also you're lying to yourself. You're lying to these people. And on top of that, you're going to internalize that and hate on those people that you said yes to because you don't want anything to do with it. So it's a waste of time for everybody.
Bad deal.
Yeah.
Bad deal all around.
It's bad. It's toxic, really. I mean, and we learn that as kids. When we come out of the womb, if you were raised by, you know, your mom and dad, if you're raised by one parent, if you're raised by, you know, some sort of adult person, you wanted to please them. You believed that, you know, I'm going to please them. And you would even, you know, look, mom, no hands as you're riding the bicycle. You're doing these things. You do this because you want to make them happy. You want to make them smile. It's so it's hard to divide off. This is my madre. These are my parents. I'm supposed to make them, you know, look at me and be so happy. And I'm supposed to please them versus so-and-so is asking me to do this. I don't want to do this. Why would I want to please them? They're not my parents. And on top of that, what is it that I'm trying to get out of them? Do I want everybody to like me because I'm doing stuff? It's almost like throwing out $100 bills. Everybody's going to like you when you're throwing out $100 bills.
Yeah.
Even the richest person will be grabbing those $100 bills. But in the end, when you stop throwing out the $100 bills, they're not going to be there.
And you're broke.
And you're broke. And it's not because they loved you because you're an awesome person. It's because they were using you, but you were allowing them to use you.
And I think that's easier said than done sometimes is, you know, you've got to set, like you were saying earlier, actually, you've got to set that boundary and you've got to say, look, this far, no farther. I mean, you can't take advantage of me any more than, you know, you already have or whatever.
I think there's a saying, you draw the line in the sand as far as the boundary goes.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm going to try to come up with a new one. F that, drawing the line in the sand. Maybe like put like, dig a ditch and fill it full of gasoline and then like light it on fire with maybe like some
you're going mines oil trench
or something. Yeah. Like that's really like, how like it's a battle for real. It's a battle like with these boundaries
the
today
moat.
With people because they just want to like continue to take advantage. The old school like, oh, just a little bit of a string of a boundary. No, it's got to be like firm.
You're talking about a moat.
Well, a boundary.
This is your castle, and you're building a moat.
You can feel like you need a
moat. If the moat had like seawater, it would have sharks in it, but it maybe like a moat with like some crazy crocodiles or that would
that are guarding it. You know, with like an electric fence. No, you
there's some cannibal mermaids with like
cannibal. You've been watching. I know
with some AK-17. No, I don't even watch.
For everybody listening tonight, I know that you're feeling a lot of the same way. You feel like people just step over your boundaries. People don't listen to you.
Take them back.
The biggest deal is this, right? It's creating boundaries by your actions. You don't have to sit there and say, don't do this to me. It's by literally, if you actually give the right boundaries in a relationship in the very beginning, they will never ask that of you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting how when you allow one thing to happen that is not what makes you feel right, that's against you. And you all know that everybody listening tonight even knows what I'm talking about. That feeling that kind of makes you sick inside where you go, I can't believe I just agreed to that. I can't believe I just did that. I kind of feel like I duped myself. I kind of feel like I just like ran over myself with a car and I've just agreed to this. You know what? That after that, it's all a downhill battle. You have to put up the moat, but the moat's not going to work. Guess what? Because they know how to go around it. Okay. The thing is that you have to stand tight by yourself and believe I am the best. I am a solid person. I am, should be loved and respected. And people that want to take advantage of you, you have to realize they are manipulators and they will constantly manipulate you. And so in order to avoid that situation, I hate to say it, some people you have to just cut bait with. It's done. It's the end all be all. It's done because they don't care about you. They only care about the way you make them feel, right? So think about it. When you make somebody feel really great and they love being around you, right? It's not about you. It's not about you getting anything from that. They're just taking from you. And a lot of times you can figure that out by when people try to push your buttons and break your boundaries, that's a taker. That is not somebody to consider a relationship with. That is not somebody to consider a marriage with. That's not even somebody to consider a let's go to lunch every 2 months with. Okay, that is a excommunicate, move on, say God bless you, I want the best for you, I'm out. And so, you know what? We have great shows for you next week. I think it's great. I really appreciate Annie for coming in the studio.
Thank you.
You've brightened this whole place up.
Amazing.
Awesome. Big Skinny, Matthew, awesome as always. You always add light to the subject, and I'm so glad to have you.
Thank you, sweetheart.
God bless you. And Billy Boy,
yo,
you're awesome. Thanks for being the greatest producer. And
Ashley, you're the best.
Oh, yes, she
must
is.
Say.
Thank you so much. I will accept that compliment happily because I know that it is genuine. So stay tuned because we had a great show for you next week. And guess what? Perspectives with me, your host, Ashley Burgess, will be back in, I guess I'll be back in three shakes.